the devastating explosion in Beirut and the chaos that is ensuing in that country of Lebanon. We watch the news and we think, well, where is God in a world full of suffering when all I see is one bad news story after the next? And can I say, if you're a parent or you've got contact with children anyway, they are going to be asking that question as they begin to watch the news and as they begin to see the events in the world. Where is God in a world of suffering? And of course, although we're affected by what we see on the news, in one sense, it's a theoretical question for us, isn't it? Because it doesn't directly impact us. Well, perhaps we ask the question because actually we've experienced some degree of suffering. Now, as we sit here in masks this morning, it's evident, isn't it, that to one degree or another, all of us have experienced some sort of suffering, some sort of strangeness over these past couple of months. Whether it be feeling isolated or lonely, and not able to join with the rest of the church family on a Sunday morning. Whether it be having experienced the trauma of working in a healthcare setting during a pandemic, comforting and seeking to hold the hands of those who are very afraid and alone. And maybe we've lost people in our families or friends. I know that's the case for some of us. But of course, we can ask that question, where is God in a world of suffering, from an even deeper level, from the very midst and the depth of pain. Where is God in the world of my suffering when tragedy strikes and when the bottom appears to fall out of our world? Where is God then? Well, the glorious, the life-giving, the hope-affirming, the confident truth of this psalm this morning is that in the midst of suffering, God is with you. God is with you. For the Christian in Christ, God is with you and he will not let you fall. That's a theme that we see running through this psalm. We just see it in verses 1 to 7, that God is with you. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. All the way through, it's not make God your refuge. No, God is our refuge. God is the ultimate safe place for his people. He is the one who gives strength to endure. He is an ever-present help in trouble. He is the one to call upon whenever and wherever. And you see what that means in verse 2? Look how the psalmist puts it in verse 2. Because God is our refuge and strength, and because he's always there to call upon, verse 2, therefore we will not fear. And though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters, the sea's waters, roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. The psalmist is using picture language. Picture language of the earth giving way, of mountains crashing into the sea. It is a picture of chaos. It's a picture of uncertainty. You know, what is more certain and firm than a mountain or a hill? You know, as you drive up the M6 towards Penrith, towards Scotland, you go through that little valley, don't you, just before you get to T-Bay Services and the delights of the overpriced farm shop. You go through that little valley and you've got the hills of the Dales on your right and you've got the hills of the Lakes on your left. And as you look at those, what is more firm? What is more stable? What can be more solid and immovable? So when they quake and fall, what are we left with? That's what the psalmist is trying to say. It's a powerful picture, isn't it, of what it feels like when trouble or suffering suddenly comes, that the mountains themselves have fallen, that the earth has given way beneath our feet. Life's fine, we're standing on solid, immovable ground, and suddenly with one phone call, one trip to the doctors, one bad financial decision, one relationship mistake, and the solid ground has disappeared from beneath our feet. In many ways, that's exactly how this pandemic has felt, isn't it? At the start of the year, 2020, all our hopes for the year, everything was normal. And then suddenly, everything changes. And it feels like the earth has given way beneath our feet. All that seems so certain, so immovable, suddenly disappears and changes, maybe forever. And it can feel like that, not just in a pandemic, but personally when tragedy strikes. But we're told, verse 2, even then we will not fear. Just as a little aside, you sometimes hear Christians say, you know, God won't give you more than you can bear. We mean very well when we say that, but that's a misquote. That's a misquoting of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where it tells us that God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Will God give us more than we can handle in this life? Well, Psalm 46 says yes. Because when the earth gives way and it feels like the mountains are crashing down into the sea, that is more than we can bear. But it is then that God's people know him as their refuge, as their ever-present help. It is then that God's people know that he is really with them. Look at how he goes on, the psalmist, in verse 4. There is a river, in contrast to the surging of the sea, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. This city of God in verse 4, presumably it's Jerusalem. And it's probably written after some siege, when there's been an army kind of besieging Jerusalem, where nations, verse 6, have been in uproar against God's people. And there's a confidence there, isn't there? There's a confidence, but it's not in the physical walls of Jerusalem to keep God's people safe. No, it is that God is there. First of all, the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells, God is within her, she will not fall. The psalmist is saying, the reason we've not been defeated is not because of our walls, it's not because of our strength, it's because God is with us. Because his temple, the place where he symbolically dwelt on earth, the place where sinful men and women could go and access God through sacrifice, because God was with us. And because God was with us, he was their river. Gave life. He would deliver them at break of dawn, verse 5. Verse 6, similarly, he had to lift up his voice. And the nations were defeated. That God himself was their fortress, verse 7. See, Psalm's confidence is not in the physical walls, the defences, but God is with them. And it is the same for God's people now. Not that we have a physical place, that God dwells in a physical temple or in a physical building. No, Christ comes to be the temple. And so you think John 2, where Jesus speaks of himself, his body as the temple. That God himself comes to be the meeting place through Jesus. That Jesus steps into the world, that through his sacrifice, he is the meeting place between sinful humanity and a father. And when people come to Christ as the meeting place, then Christ comes to live within them. that by his Spirit, he lives within his people, guaranteeing that we will one day, with sins paid for, we will one day be part of that heavenly city. See, God is with us by his Spirit through Christ. That means God is the one who gives us life like a river. He's where we are, where he dwells now. And we are kept safe eternally by the thick fortress walls of Christ's blood. He's with us. And you see what that means? Everything else may fall. Verse 2, the mountains may fall into the heart of the sea. Verse 5, the kingdoms may fall. But verse 5, you will never fall. If you're in Christ, God is with you, and you are kept safe, and you will never fall. Eternally secure. Verse 5, God is within her. God is within you. She will not fall. He will not fall. God's people are kept safe because God is with us. And therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. We don't give in to fear. If anybody could have given in to fear, it was Martin Luther in 1527. Many of you know Martin Luther, the man who, through looking at God's word, when the gospel had been lost, found again the hope that can be had in Christ. And in 1527, other people like him, reformers, were being put in prison and killed. He'd been outlawed. A plague was sweeping his country. The bubonic plague was in his town. His son almost died. He himself was ridden with fever. And suddenly, although he translated the Psalms, suddenly this psalm became very real to him. He had to live this psalm as the world crashed around, down around him. And he took great comfort. He wrote a hymn from it. That God was his refuge. That he was kept eternally secure in Christ. That God was with him and would not let him fall and keep him safe forever. Of course he felt fear. But he didn't give in to fear. And he would often say to his friend, Philip, Philip, let's sing Psalm 46 again. Let us sing Psalm 46. To remind himself that God was with him and was keeping him safe forever. See, no matter what you go through, God is with you. If you're in Christ, plague, poverty, personal tragedy, God is with you. He's keeping you eternally secure. He is your ever-present help. Call out to him. Draw on that help. Draw on his strength. Sing Psalm 46. And you see that in a world full of fear, as we sit here in our masks, we don't need to give in to fear. We can be different. Because through Christ, God is with us. We're gonna pause there. And we're going to pause to reflect as Matty B and come and sing for us. As we reflect on the hope, the security that we have in Christ. So we're going to sit. We're going to listen to this song, Cornerstone. So God is with us. He's our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. He's with us through Christ. So lastly, very briefly, God is with us, so know who your God is. So know who your God is. Verse 8, the psalmist invites God's people to see what God has done. See there in verse 8? Goes on, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Psalmist is recalling how God has saved and protected his people through judgment falling on their enemies. And through that judgment, there is peace and security for God's people. And actually, it will be the same for us through Christ. God's judgment for us has fallen on Christ, and therefore he will come in judgment at the end of time to judge those still outside of Christ. And that will be peace and security for God's people as Christ comes to bring desolation on the earth. But that is good news for God's people who find their security in him. When he comes to bring an end to all wars and to all suffering. See, when Christ returns, he will break every semi-automatic weapon. He will shatter every nuclear warhead. He will burn every armored car with fire. And at that point, he will stand exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. He will overturn every injustice against his people. He will right every wrong. And he will be proved to be the great and only Lord. And so what does God say to his people, given that is what Christ is going to do? What does he say to you and I? He says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now lots of people, you've probably maybe seen it on a post, you may have it up at home. Lots of people take that verse and take it to mean, well, we quietly kind of meditate and reflect in quietness. And if you Google that verse, as I did, and you look at the images, they're all backgrounds of still waters and quiet sunsets and tranquil scenes. But actually what God is saying is, no, stand in awe of who Christ is. Be still, stop your restless activity and stand in awe at your God. Know his complete power and sovereignty. Know that one day he will be revealed, and that will be for the good of his people. We're to stop what we're doing and stand in awe of Christ. And you see, knowing that it is this Christ who is with us, well, that makes the world of difference to God's people. For example, if you happen to be lost in the jungle, and I was with you, that wouldn't be a lot of help. That really wouldn't be a lot of help. But if you were lost in the jungle and Bear Grylls was with you, now we're talking. Now we've got hope. Silly example. But you get the point. The Christ who will come in judgment to bring peace on the earth will be exalted above all. That Christ, that God, he's the one who's with me. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, knowing that this Christ is with you means you really are secure. You really are safe behind fortress walls forever. If he has this power, nothing can take you from his grasp. No trouble or hardship, nothing. Safe. And that means you look forward to the day And you look forward to the day when he will right every wrong and wipe away every trouble and end all your pain and your suffering. We have complete assurance, complete security, because this God, this Christ, is with us. And so we're to be still and to know that God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is with us. We thank you that whilst it may feel like the world has fallen apart, and if it doesn't for us now, we know that it might do one day. And thank you that he is with us and we are secure in him and with him. Help us to continue to know our refuge, to call out to you for help, and to rest in the security and assurance that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, shall we stand? Keep your masks on, but shall we stand and we'll say the creed together? Let's declare who the God is in whom we find our refuge. So we say together, we believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do you take a seat? In a moment, Annie's going to come and lead us in our prayers. Just before that, just want to say two things, really. It's fine, you guys can go and sit down, it's all right. I can see you kind of halfway, kind of. Two things. Let's keep on doing what we did at first in lockdown. And we're in this kind of funny halfway stage, aren't we, where some of us are able to meet, some of us are watching online and in other ways. Let's continue to keep on checking up on one another. Keep on making contact with the people in your home groups, particularly people that aren't able to gather on a Sunday. Keep on loving each other well. Say some more about ways in which we can do that next week. And also as well, there is a little team now, I'll email out later, of people who are willing to help you get onto Zoom or to access YouTube or get online in whatever way you need help with that. Again, we're just conscious that Preston's now in a local lockdown and that may come our way at some point, we don't know. So that is available. I'll email later today about how to access that help if you need it. But Annie, do you want to come and lead us in prayer?